The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel Binyamin Honigwax, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Zvachim Mamalef. So finally we're getting to the part of the Dentaira that was actually Negea Tower Block, which was the excuse to bring in this whole Dentaira into Masechta Zvachim. Okay, just want to add on to what we said yesterday, that we said yesterday that when it comes to Mechila of a Tanai, it's enough to show that you're Meichel, so I found the Makar for this, and the truth is the Rechayim who says that if a person sells something and he makes a Tanai, and then he sees the buyer transgressing that Tanai, doing something against the Tanai, and he's quiet, he doesn't say anything, that's considered a Mechila, even though generally when somebody owes me money and I see he's not paying, or I see he's doing something which shows that he's not paying, that wouldn't necessarily work. But when it comes to Tanai, he says, since the Ran says that the way Mechila of Tanai works is that you're showing that you don't care about it, that would be enough for a Mechila of a Tanai. Now, I asked my Rebbe Rav Shlomo Miller about this Dentaira. And my Rebbe told me as follows. He told me that we're making a big mistake. It doesn't really matter in our case if the language that was used was an incorrect language. Why? Because there's a halacha of kol oisal das rishaynu oisal, like we learned in our sugya. Now, when the investor told the recipient, if you make a certain number of payments on time for a certain number of years, I will forgive you something. So let's say that expression of I will forgive you is meaningless. But when the investor actually takes those payments and accepts it without saying anything, that itself shows us that he actually forgave it. Because he didn't have any right to take the payments all the way until the last payment, take that money from the recipient, if he didn't intend to go through with forgiving the loan. Because since they both understood that the only reason why the recipient is giving back all this money at this rate is because of the fact that he wants to get a mechila, forgiveness from the investor, and the investor knows that the recipient is only giving it because of that. So therefore, when the investor takes the money, if he wouldn't be doing it for the same intention that the recipient is giving it, he would be a ganav, he would be stealing from the recipient, and therefore, even though that agreement that they reached was years ago, nevertheless, when he takes that last payment, he's showing by taking the money that he agrees right now to forgive the interest payments. This is the svara that my Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Miller, said. I looked around in the Achrayim, and I found two similar svaras. I found that there's a Tshuvas Kol Elyo who says as follows. A person owed somebody else money, and he came over to me, told him, I want to do something, a certain action for you, I want to give you something, and when I give you this thing, I want you to moichel the money. The other person was quiet, he didn't say anything. And the borrower handed over that item to the lender, and the lender took it and was quiet. Says the Kol Elyo, that is considered a good mechila. Because you know that the borrower is only giving this to you because he wants mechila, and you're taking it from him. You have no right to take it if you're not agreeing to his terms. So by taking it, you're showing that you agreed to forgive it. This is a little bit different than our case, because in the case of the Kol Elyo, you're actually telling it to him on the spot. You tell him right before you give it, I'm about to give you something, and here it is. So perhaps that's better, because he compares it to the concept of Hayim Adaber Ma'ishal Iska Gita V'Kidushal. If a person is discussing marriage topics with a woman, and then he hands her money, and he doesn't say anything, we assume that money was being given L'Shem Kedushin, because it's within the context of marriage discussions. Therefore, in our in the Kolio's case, since they're talking about a certain topic and then he gives it to him, the context shows us what's happening. In our case, the discussion about the forgiveness of the loan happened years ago. We can't say that when I give you that last payment, there's a certain context of discussion which shows us what the intention of this money is. No way. That discussion happened years ago. There's no way to say that there's a certain context to the giving of the money. So the proof from the Kol Elyo is not that clear. There's a Marsham that says something else which we can compare to this, and we'll see it's not also a 100% accurate proof. The Marsham says that if a person tells somebody else, let's say Reuven lent Shimon money, And Reuven tells Shimon, the lender tells the borrower, if you sign a certain paper on my behalf, I'm going to forgive you the money. Months later, the borrower signs the paper for the lender. And the lender says, no, I changed my mind. Says to Marsham, since you said at the beginning, months before, that if he signs it, you're going to be Michael, and you never changed your mind, you never told the guy that I'm changing my mind, so if you're doing something now, by you accepting the signature, that shows us that you're Michael the money, because we assume that you're going and continuing on with the Das Rishayna, with the original intention that you had. And that's how this whole thing comes into our sugya, because the Marsham says, Kol Yisrael Das Rishayna Oysa. Okay. But this also is not 100% clear comparison, because in this case it was the lender who told it to the borrower, and he used the proper expression. He said, "When you sign that thing for me, then it will be forgiven." Right? He didn't say, "I will forgive." He said, "It will be forgiven." The proper language was used. So therefore, maybe only say "Kol Yisrael Das Rishayna Oysa" if you use the proper language at the outset. For that we say, we have a Kaleo. In the Kaleo's case, the language was not the right language. Okay, but then you'll say the Kaleo was talking when it was on the spot. So each of these alone is not a conclusive proof. Perhaps if you take them together, you can build a proof to what Rav Shlomo Miller was trying to say. However, I pointed out to my Rebbe that it's not really true in our case. Why? Because in our case, it's very different from this case of the Marsham. You're right. Kol Yisrael Das Rishayna Oysa. If you said that you plan on doing something with a certain Das, then we say Al Das Rishayna Oysa. But in our case, something else very monumental happened. The investor made two times he was Meister Meidah. First time he was Meister Meidah before he reached this agreement. Then, before the last payment, he was also Meister Meidah. So now, we say like this. It's true. The Moidah doesn't really work. Neither of these Moidahs work. Because we said that in order to be Meister Moidah, you have to be able to say that it's a Matana, or we have to know that there's Oinus. Since in this case we don't know that there's Oinus, and it's considered by Bezin to be a Mecher, to be a transaction. Therefore, we say that the Moidah doesn't work. The Moidah doesn't show us what your Das really is. But if you look in the Rishayim in the Sugya of Moidah, it becomes apparent that that Moidah is not effective when we don't know about an oinus, when it comes to a sale, a mecher. That's only because we assume that although at the time that you wrote the Moidah, perhaps you did not intend to sell, nevertheless, you changed your mind when the guy gave you the money. That's the language used by the Rishayim seems to denote that is the way to understand this concept that Moidah does not work for a Mecher. So again, the reason why Moidah doesn't work for a Mecher is not because you never intended the Moidah in the first place. It's true. When you made the Moidah, perhaps you did intend to make a good Moidah and to say that you don't plan on selling it. However, when you actually did the Mecher, we assume that you changed your mind and you decided to sell. So in our case, you made an agreement. You said, when you pay me this money, I will forgive it. Great. You made a Moidah. That Moidah doesn't mean anything because it was a Mecher without an Oinus. Fine. Now we'll say, Kol Yisrael Das Rishayna Oysa. When you take the money later, you mean to take it for the same reason that you agreed upon originally, which is that it's only if you're forgiving the interest. However, in between the signing of the original agreement and taking the last payment, which is a time when we're about to say that we can now prove that you certainly intend to forgive the money now, something transpired. Then another Moidah was written. And we said from the Rishayim, when you write a Moidah, so we say at the time of writing the Moidah, you certainly don't intend to actually go through with that future transaction. It's just that when you actually do the transaction, we say you change your mind. So now we can't say Kol Yisrael Das Rishayna Oysa. The only time you can say Kol Yisrael Das Rishayna Oysa is when we have the ability to say that your mind never changed from the time that you said the Das Rishayna, from the time that you showed us what your intent was originally, straight until the time that you did the action that we're trying to understand the intention of that action. You consistently were staying with that Das Rishayna. You consistently had that intention that you originally expressed to us. However, if we know that there was a break in between, there was a time in between, when you certainly did not have that intention, we don't have the right then to go back and to say, when you do the action, that now maybe you reverted back to your original intention all the way at the beginning. Because the only right that we're only comfortable making that assumption if we have the ability to say that you never changed your mind, that your intention remained constant throughout. However, if we know that your intention changed at some point, we wouldn't be able to say that. So in our case, since you made a maidah in between the time when you expressed your intention, which is at the time of the signing of the document, and the time that you actually took the money, which is the time that you would have to actually go through with that intention, in between those two time points, there was a shift in the person's thinking. He wrote a maidah. We can't. The Rishonim already taught us that when a person writes a maidah, we can't just disregard that maidah and say that the maidah is meaningless completely. We say at the time of the maidah, he did intend what he wrote in the maidah. Then later on, he changed his mind back. Great, but over here we don't have proof to say that. Because since we have to use the concept of Kol Aisal Dasir Shenu Aisa, that concept is only applicable when we have the ability to say that there was consistent and continuous intention throughout, from the time that he expressed his intention until the time that we want to use that expressed intention, and there was no break or nothing just shook us up in the middle. Okay, great. This is the end of that series about Kol Aisal Dasir Shenu Aisa, and that is the conclusion. But getting back to the point, at the end of the day, the Beis Din Paskin that the recipient would win the case just because the second issue never ended up being an issue, because at the second session it was clarified that the proper language was used, and therefore the recipient ended up off of the hook.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.